and a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, yesterday, an interesting day unfolding in Capitol Hill as lawmakers, both Democrats and Republicans, met with a group of Epstein accusers in front of the United States Capitol to demand the release and the disclosure of classified files from the Department of Justice to release the so-called Epstein files. You know, this whole process and what you've seen unfold over the last couple of months, I will contend, is incredibly interesting. Jeffrey Epstein and the things that he is accused and did in his time of being this kingpin sex trafficker, which apparently everybody knew for the better part of like 30 years. It's amazing how nobody ever wanted to talk about this beforehand. And it's amazing that members of Congress like Ro Khanna, who led this press conference yesterday, and Thomas Massie and others all of a sudden want to talk about this. Meanwhile, for the most part, mum was the word for a very significant period of time. Jeffrey Epstein was a complete and total disgusting scumbag, an individual that preyed upon young children, his accomplice in Ghislaine Maxwell, preyed upon young children and essentially trapped them into the situation that they were forced into by promising them access to connections in Hollywood, promising them levels of money with prosperity, so on and so forth. It does not get any lower than somebody like Jeffrey Epstein. This is not a new story. Folks on the right have been talking about Epstein and the Epstein files going back 10, 15 plus years. But now all of the sudden, there's all of this emphasis on the files after he allegedly killed himself and hung himself back, what was that, 2019? Now, all of a sudden, there's so much emphasis. So this press conference took place in Washington, D.C. yesterday. It included a variety of individuals who we'll hear from this morning, including some of the Jeffrey Epstein accusers. And I'll note that I found it interesting that all of the major news networks, CNN and MSNBC, so on and so forth, they all covered this press conference, which included individuals like Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene, individuals that they have completely discredited themselves, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, is somebody that mainstream media outlets have completely discredited, like have said that she cannot be believed on anything that she says or does. She is a lunatic, a psycho, a literal crazy person. That's what they've said about somebody like MTG for years. Yet when she is calling out the Epstein files, because those on the left want there to be a connection between Epstein and Donald Trump, because of that, now she all of a sudden is a verified source of information again. Right, this is the issue. This is what comes up front when you demonize individuals that you disagree with politically, and then all of a sudden you want to use them as a political tool. Your argument is completely discredited, because if you believe the left, anything out of Marjorie Taylor's mouth green is batshit crazy. And anything that she says, if you believe the narrative that the media has spun for years, anything that she says is a lie. And we should not trust a word that comes out of her mouth. So it's just an interesting dichotomy when you make those claims and make those statements for years and completely try to disprove anything that somebody says, and then, of course, have to air a press conference where they're saying things that you want to push forward because you believe it implicates Donald Trump. So the whole process is interesting. Ro Khanna, another one. Here's how this press conference opened up yesterday, early afternoon.
Today, as you can see, we're united in restoring trust in government. We're here not as partisans.
No.
We're here as patriots.
Sure.
We begin the work of bringing this country together. Progressives, independents, moderates, and yes, MAGA supporters to demand truth and justice. A nation that allows rich and powerful men to traffic and abuse young girls without consequence is a nation that has lost its moral and spiritual core.
Now, let me be clear. I don't disagree with anything that is being said here by the congressman from California. But the federal government has had access to these documents for the better part of 6 years. And that, to me, is the perplexing part about all of this. You know, obviously, the things, and as you heard me state in the open just a few minutes ago, it is not a secret what Jeffrey Epstein was doing. It is not a secret that he was not held responsible for the disgusting, despicable things that he did over the span of, again, 20 or 30 years. There's no argument there at all. And so the question has to become, and we'll get through this through parts of this press conference. The question to me is, well, then why now, Ro Khanna? Why now, Thomas Massie? Where was this press conference 2 years ago? Where was this press conference 3 years ago? Why is all of this coming to the forefront now? That's the part of it that I find so interesting. And of course, the discussion of this is not a political issue is complete and total bullshit. It is 100% political. The reason that this press conference happened yesterday by people like Ro Khanna and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie is because now there is an angle for the media and for those on the political left to believe that President Donald Trump is implicated in these files. That is the reason that this press conference happened yesterday. This is the reason why it did not happen 2 years ago under the Biden administration, or 3 or 4 years ago under the previous administration. It is completely political from the standpoint of the elected officials speaking. For the victims that had to go through the torture of Jeffrey Epstein, had to have individuals like Ghislaine Maxwell mislead and lie to them about what was going on and abuse them in many cases as underage children, they're not doing this politically. But these same individuals that spoke at this press conference yesterday, many of them speaking for the first time, have been actively involved in trying to get this information out since like 2005 or 6. So why is Ro Khanna standing in front of the Capitol yesterday? Because it is 100% political for him. No question in my mind about it.
Americans are asking a very simple question.
And have been for years, by the way.
How is it possible that in the richest, most powerful country in the world, there are corrupt special interest forces, both foreign or domestic, that are preventing the release, that have a stranglehold on our government and are preventing the release of the full Epstein files? There is something that is rotten in Washington. Less than 1% of these files have been released. We are demanding today on the discharge petition that all of the files be released. We know we have 212 Democrats and we have 4 Republicans, courageous Republicans like Thomas Massie, Nancy Mace, who was so emotional yesterday after talking to the survivors, Congresswoman Boebert and Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And again, let me stop this one more time. The Democrats, Ro Khanna, and every single one of them involved have spent years discrediting people like Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, calling them literally insane, trying to make the argument that anything that comes out of their mouth is a lie. These are unhinged elected officials in Congress. Years of this narrative. But again, now because there is a political angle, and now all of a sudden Democrats want to talk about it, we will give platform. We will give solace. And we will allow people like MTG and Lauren Boebert and Thomas Massie, who is a complete and utter jackass, just all across the board and has been for years. We will now join and lock arms with these individuals to get the truth out there. We didn't have anything to say over the last 4 or 5 years about it as the 200 plus Democrats in the House. Mum is the word. No discussion of it at all. But now we're going to lock arms with some of the people that we claim are the worst members of Congress to get this information out. 100% political, folks. Just keep that in mind as you listen to these opening comments.
We need just two more signatures to force the release. So we gather here on the steps of the Capitol to confront these corrupt forces. Today we stand with survivors. We stand against big money. We stand to protect America's children. That is really what this is about. I now want to bring up my Republican colleague, Thomas Massie. He has shown so much courage, so much leadership. And I saw some people, I say the same thing about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She has shown so much courage on this issue. I saw some people when I was coming here calling her names. We've got to stop that.
Hold on a second, Ro Khanna. You guys have been the ones calling Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert names for years. So we can call them names when they disagree with us politically. But now we're going to have to listen to the great congressman from California tell us that, oh, no, we can't call these people names. We can't call these people's names. We have to be nice to them now because they are going to help us try and build a narrative against the president of the United States. This guy is such a lowlife.
The partisanship on this issue. This is an issue where they both have shown real courage and leadership, and I appreciate them joining us today. Congressman Massie.
I want to thank my colleague Ro Khanna for co-leading this effort to bring transparency and justice for these victims. I hope my colleagues are watching this press conference. I want them to think, what if this was your sister? What if this was your daughter? When these survivors speak, the Washington establishment is asking the American public to believe something that is not believable. They're asking you to believe that two individuals created hundreds of victims and they acted alone, and that the DOJ has no idea of who else might have been involved, that nobody else did anything that rose to a criminal enterprise. The American people know that's not true. Now, the Speaker of the House just offered a fig leaf to my colleagues. They're going to vote on a non-binding resolution today that does absolutely nothing. I appreciate the efforts of my colleague James Comer, who's leading the Oversight Committee. They may find some information, but they're allowing the DOJ to curate all of the information that the DOJ is giving them. If you've looked at the pages they've released so far, they're heavily redacted. Some pages are entirely redacted. And 97% of this is already in the public domain. So I'm calling on my colleagues. Be one of the next two who sponsors this discharge petition. I think it's shameful that this has been called a hoax. Hopefully today we can clear that up. This is not a hoax. This is real. There are real survivors. There are real victims to this criminal enterprise.
I'm going to stop Thomas Massie right there because, as typical, he is, of course, completely misrepresenting a situation, which is why, for the longest time, I've disliked Thomas Massie. He is a do-nothing member of Congress. He consistently does not stand up and claims he does, but consistently does not stand up for anything that is even remotely considered conservative. It has been called a hoax by people on the right, including President Donald Trump, because of the words that you just heard come out of Ro Khanna's mouth. This discussion of this is not a partisan issue and we're just trying to get to the truth. That is the part of it that is a hoax. Democrats sat on their ass for the last 4 years under Joe Biden with their Department of Justice that had access to this information and did not once compel them to release the information. Not once. And so in that element and in that aspect, it is 100% a political hoax by those on the progressive left and those now so-called Democrats that want to fight for accountability and truth. These are the same Democrats, I will remind you, that told the American people, these same ones that talk about accountability and truth, right? That's what you just heard from Ro Khanna. So it's all about accountability in D.C. It's all about truth. These are the same Democrats that for multiple years lied about the health, lied about the cognitive ability and the mental state of the president of the United States. So you're going to have to spare me the outrage. Spare me the gaslighting when you claim that you're for accountability and truth. Nonsense. Nonsense. You're about accountability, so-called accountability and truth here, because you believe it's going to be a good political talking point. Ro Khanna and every other Democrat, all 212 of them in Congress, don't believe for a second in accountability or truth. They care about doing what is politically expedient for themselves. And I'm sorry to say it, but for somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has been a staunch supporter of President Donald Trump, Thomas Massie is a jackass, so I don't really care what he says. But for somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she is being roped into this, I would argue, under false pretenses by those on the left. Should this information be made available? Absolutely. Should this information be released? And has President Donald Trump handled this very poorly? Yes, all of those things are true. But this is 100% political theater by the Democrats. This is 100% a political sideshow for Democrats, because they've got nothing else to talk about. So they believe that now they're going to be the saviors and the champions of the so-called Epstein files, while they've sat on their hands and done nothing while this information has been available for years. I don't remember Thomas Massie introducing a discharge petition under Joe Biden's watch when he was in Congress the entire time. I don't remember Massie ever doing that. And you have to ask yourself why. You really have to ask yourself why.
And the perpetrators are being protected because they're rich and powerful and political donors to the establishment here in Washington, D.C. So today we're standing with these survivors and we're giving them a voice. And I want to close by thanking them. They are brave. I hope they encourage other survivors to come forward and to tell their stories, not just of Jeffrey Epstein and Maxwell, but anywhere in the country. This is a message that we are sending. This is a litmus test. Can we drain the swamp? Are there people who are outside of the reach of the law? I don't think there should be. So hopefully today we'll get two more signatures on the discharge petition. That's all we need. And with that, I want to introduce the bravest woman in Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I find it interesting that the three Republican co-sponsors are women. These are women standing up for women. And Marjorie was the first to do it. And I think she deserves all of our gratitude for breaking that barrier and leading the way for the other Republicans. Hopefully they can find their spines as well. And with that, I give you Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yes.
Again, I like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've liked Marjorie Taylor Greene for quite some time. I don't agree with everything she says. I don't agree with everything she does. But the left has completely discredited her as a rational, reasonable person. But now they're putting her on a pedestal. It's important to remember that stuff when you're watching this. And it was the situation, of course, is not funny, but it was hilarious to watch CNN and MSNBC carry Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments live yesterday, as they have spent years literally discrediting her and calling her an insane, crazy person. Just a little bit of context for you.
Good morning. This is my fifth year in Congress, and this is the largest press conference that I've seen since I've been here. And this is because this is an issue that matters so much to Americans. This is an issue that doesn't have political boundaries. It's an issue that Republicans and Democrats should never fight about. As a matter of fact, it's such an important issue that it should bring us all together. It's grieved me to watch the arguments and debates take place among my colleagues and even the administration. I think this is something that's worth fighting for. You see, the women behind me are going to tell you stories that you've never heard before. These are unimaginable horrors that they've lived with for their entire lives since they were very, very young. But these are also similar stories that many children, teenagers, women, and even men are enduring nightmares right now as we speak. You see, these women have been fighting since the 1990s. I heard one woman tell us yesterday, since 1996. And they have carried with them shame. But I want to tell you something. The shame does not fall on these brave, courageous women. The shame falls on every single person that coldly turned a blind eye to their abuse. The shame falls on every single person that enabled it. The shame falls on every single person that took money to continue it. And the shame falls on the people in power over the past several decades that protected the monster, Jeffrey Epstein, and his cabal that continued a nightmare.
Could not agree anymore with Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is a failure across the political spectrum. Democrat administrations and Republican administrations. Again, as you just heard from MTG, people started blowing the whistle on Jeffrey Epstein back in the mid to late 90s that this was going on. And because he was so powerful, because he was such a wealthy individual, and was so well connected with leaders all across the world, nothing was ever done, and he was shielded, essentially shielded from ever being held responsible or accountable for the despicable, disgusting, horrible things that he and Ghislaine Maxwell were responsible for. She is absolutely dead on right about that.
Those people deserve the shame. And today, we are coming forward, and we are going to fight like hell for these women, because we have to fight like hell for those that are enduring sexual abuse and are living in a prison of shame. Anyone that is being abused, it is not your fault. You should live with no guilt or fear or shame. All of the fault belongs to the evil people that do these things to the innocent. This is the most important fight we can wage here in Congress, is fighting for innocent people that never received justice. And the women behind me have never received justice. And do you want to know why? It's because Jeffrey Epstein somehow was able to walk among the most rich, powerful people, not only in America, but foreign countries. Yesterday, I heard countries like Saudi Arabia, Russia, and even Israel. And other countries. The truth needs to come out, and the government holds the truth. The cases that are sealed hold the truth. Jeffrey Epstein's estate holds the truth. The FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA holds the truth. And the truth we are demanding come out on behalf of these women, but also as a strong message to every innocent child, teenager, woman, and man that is being held captive in abuse. This should never happen in America, and it should never be a political issue that divides us. And I want to thank Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie for doing something brave, crossing political boundaries for a very important fight. And I'm honored to join both of them. And I'm honored that Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert signed the discharge petition along with myself. And I asked my Republican colleagues not to choose just one path for justice and transparency and accountability, but I asked my Republican colleagues to choose every path for justice and accountability and transparency. And with that, I'd like to bring back Congressman Ro Khanna to start this important press conference. Thank you.
We're not going to listen to Ro Khanna and his nonsense. Again, a great comment coming in on our Rumble chat this morning. As much as people can't stand MTG, she's pretty much always right. And it's, again, that's one of the things that is frustrating about this process to me. Obviously, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is coming at this, and based on her commentary, she's coming at this from the right place. The unfortunate reality is she is being used by individuals like Ro Khanna and like the 200 and some odd other Democrats that are now all of the sudden so interested in finding out about Jeffrey Epstein. She is being used by them, I would argue, as essentially a political tool. I have a lot of respect for MTG, unlike those on the left that have spent years demonizing her and calling her crazy and insane and nuts and untrustworthy. I do like the vast majority of things that MTG says and does. And it's just the optics of discrediting somebody for years and then running to the microphone to grab them as the, you know, subject matter expert on something just goes to show you the zero and low class nature of those on the political left. So I think it's important to hear from some of the accusers in this, because their stories are incredibly powerful. And it's part of the reason why more needs to be done to get this information out here. Let's listen into a few minutes of this.
Good morning. My name is Anushka DiGiorgio, and I stand before you today as a survivor of both Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. I want to thank Congressman Massey and Khanna for their role in putting together this very, very important bill. Every day of this journey toward healing has come at a profound cost to my mental health, but I am here. I chose to come because this bill really matters. I speak today not only in service of my own recovery from trauma inflicted by Maxwell and Epstein, but to honor the lives, the courage, and sacrifices of Virginia Giuffre, Caroline Andriano, and others who could not continue. Their voices mattered. Their stories must not be forgotten. Accountability is what makes a society civilized. Equal opportunity and equal consequence for all. Consequences are not about punishment alone. They exist to deter future harm, to protect vulnerable, and to set a standard of justice. If Ghislaine Maxwell were pardoned, it would undermine all the sacrifices I made to testify and make mockery of mine and all survivors' suffering. That is why the Epstein Files Transparency Act is so essential. It requires the Department of Justice release all the records related to Epstein and Maxwell investigations, flight logs, immunity deals, internal communications, and even the records surrounding Epstein's detention and death. And crucially, it forbids withholding documents simply because of embarrassment, reputational harm, or political sensitivity. This is about ending secrecy wherever abuse of power takes root. But transparency alone is not enough. Survivors need protection, resources, and legal support. If this Congress is serious about justice, then let this moment also affirm your commitment to provide victims with the legal aid they need to confront abusers, to navigate complex systems, and to reclaim their power. Transparency must be matched by support, or else too many victims will remain silent out of fear and lack of access. The statistics demand action. Nearly one in five women in America will experience rape or attempted rape in her lifetime. Every 74 seconds, someone is sexually assaulted. Every 9 minutes, that person is a child. These are not numbers, they are people. They are your daughters, your sons, your constituents, your friends. Statistically, one in five of your families will face this nightmare. The days of sweeping this under the rug are over. We, the survivors, say no more. I want to help create a world where survivors of sexual abuse and abuse of power can come forward safely. And I ask Congress to join me in that effort, not only by passing this bill, but by ensuring that those who step forward have legal support to face their abusers and see justice done. When Judge Berman gave Epstein survivors the chance to finally speak, the world listened. After so many years, survivors were heard. That moment was historic, and so is this moment. For me, the turning point was when I had my daughter. And on the day she was born, I knew I had a responsibility to protect her and to protect all children. I have to use my voice, the voice that had been silenced by fear and shame for so many years. Make no mistake, my polished exterior is a shield hiding a wound that still bleeds. But through this wound, I have found purpose to be part of lasting change in how we confront exploitation and abuse. And to be clear, the only motive for opposing this bill would be to conceal wrongdoing. You have a choice. Stand with the truth or with the lies that have protected predators for decades. I am no longer weak. I am no longer powerless. And I'm no longer alone. And with your vote, neither will the next generation be. President Trump, you have so much influence and power in this situation. Please use that influence and power to help us, because we need it now, and this country needs it now. Thank you.
As you can hear there, incredibly emotional testimony from one. We'll listen to a couple of more here before we wrap up the show this Thursday morning. Incredibly powerful testimony. And you know, some of the interesting commentary there, of course, calling on President Donald Trump to release this information. I think she's spot on about that. And one of the other things that you know, I kind of mentioned in the open, it was just highlighted there by that accuser, was that this has been going on and has been a secret, you know, swept under the rug for decades, for years. And the information has never come to light. That is, of course, the incredibly problematic part to all of this. Another comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. There's definitely unquestionably a problem with sexual deviance, and to wrap it up with Epstein undermines it. An interesting point there as well to be brought forward, as we'll continue listening to some of these comments as well. Plus, President Donald Trump did in fact react to this yesterday. He was at the White House having a meeting with the president of Poland. Of course, media asking questions to the president about that. And I'm going to argue once again, he completely fumbled the ball as it relates to this. I think whoever is advising him on this Epstein thing is completely botching this situation. And I don't know who is giving him this advice and why he's going down the path that he is, but we'll get into those details. Before that, I do want to thank the great advertisers and sponsors here of the Nick Craig Show, including the law group here in Wilmington. And I want to let you know that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group. Since 2003, now for over 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the state of North Carolina. Maybe you're looking to buy a house, estate planning, probate, eminent domain, a lot of various legal challenges that you could be facing. If so, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call this morning or this afternoon, any point, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We'll continue with us coverage of this Epstein press conference yesterday. We'll also hear from President Donald Trump and more of your comments as well. As the Nick Craig Show rolls on live this Thursday morning, streaming on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live at 7 a.m. weekday mornings, also available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We are recapping and watching together some of this press conference that took place yesterday. It included members of Congress, Ro Khanna from California, Thomas Massie, as well as Marjorie Taylor Greene, and victims of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, as there is an incredible amount of building political pressure on President Donald Trump to release this information. Pam Bondi, the attorney general, and others involved in the release of those documents. I think it's important to hear some of the firsthand victim accounts of what went on over, again, the span of 30 years. So let's continue to listen to that this morning.
My name is Annie Farmer, and I was 16 years old when I was flown to New Mexico to spend a weekend with Epstein and Maxwell. That same year, 1996, my sister, Maria Farmer, reported what happened to me there.
1996 is what she just said. 1996 was almost 30 years ago, 29 years ago to be exact. Remarkable.
Along with reporting her own assault at their hands and their theft of sensitive photos of herself, of me, and our younger sister that she had taken for her work as a figurative painter. I am now 46 years old. 30 years later, we still do not know why that report wasn't properly investigated or why Epstein and his associates were allowed to harm hundreds, if not thousands, of other girls and young women. We have never been told whether those images were found when they discovered a large amount of child sexual abuse material on his property. As a psychologist, I understand that when the system's meant to protect us, recreate the abuse cycle, the betrayal that occurs can be just as damaging as the original trauma. This happens when survivors of these crimes are not believed, when our well-being is not weighed as heavily as those who have more resources or more privilege, and when perpetrators of these crimes are given a platform rather than the survivors of them. For so many years, it felt like Epstein's criminal behavior was an open secret. Not only did many others participate in the abuse, it is clear that many were aware of his interest in girls and very young women and chose to look the other way because it benefited them to do so.
That's accurate.
They wanted access to his circle and his money. Their choice to align with his power left those of us who had been harmed by this man and his associates feeling very isolated. I could never have imagined being here today and this chorus of support that we have all received. I have been sent so many notes and messages from people with no direct connection to this case who've expressed their solidarity with us. And I believe that is because, in part, as Anushka so explained so well, this is an extremely widespread issue of child sexual abuse, of sexual exploitation, of sexual violence. This affects almost every family in some way. From my conversations with women in these last few days and from all of the support that we've received, it's very clear to me that we are not going away, we are not going to be quiet, and we are not going to give up. And I ask the American public to stand with us and not give up. At a time with record high levels of distrust in our institutions and a perception that there are two Americas, one for those with power and privilege and one for everyone else, passing this Epstein transparency bill is one important step that can be taken to prove to Americans that the government does not side with sexual perpetrators. A thorough public review of this information is an important step in preventing the type of systemic failures that have occurred in this case and harmed all of us. An important step towards healing for those involved. Thank you.
And then no question about it, huge government missteps in all of this and providing this information and bringing this to light. Again, the government for at least the last 6 years has had access to this information under a Democrat and Republican administration. And nothing was said. I mean, again, this press conference could have happened at any time over the last 4 or 5 years, and it didn't. And so there's no question about it. The government in itself has completely botched and mishandled this situation. Let's hear from a couple more of these stories. I think were contrary to my earlier comments about Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna. The statements here from the individuals that had to deal with and struggle through the scumbag lowlife guy that Jeffrey Epstein was, I found to be incredibly powerful. Let's continue.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to say thank you, everyone, for being here today on this very powerful and special day for all of us here. My name is Marina Lacerda. I was minor victim one in federal indictment of Jeffrey Epstein in New York in 2019. I was one of dozens of girls that I personally know who were forced into Jeffrey's mansion on 9 East 71 Street in New York City when we were just kids. Today is the first time that I ever speak publicly about what happened to me. I never thought that I would find myself here. The only reason that I am here is because it feels like the people who matter in this country finally care about what we have to say. As an immigrant from Brazil, I feel empowered knowing that the little girl struggling to get by at 14 and 15 years old finally has a voice. For the first time, I feel like I matter as an American. I was only 14 years old when I met Jeffrey. It was the summer of high school. I was working 3 jobs to try to support my mom and my sister when a friend of mine in the neighborhood told me that I could make $300 to give an older guy a massage. It went from a dream job to the worst nightmare. Jeffrey assistant Leslie Groff would call me and tell me that I needed to be at the house so often that I ended up dropping out of high school before ninth grade. And I never went back. From 14 to 17 years old, I went and worked for Jeffrey instead of receiving an education. Every day I hoped that he would offer me a real job as one of his assistant or something important. I would finally have made it big, as like we say, the American dream. That day never came. I had no way out. I was, until he finally told me that I was too old. There are many pieces of my story that I can't remember, no matter how hard I try. The constant state of wonder causes me so much fear and so much confusion. My therapist says that my brain is just trying to protect itself, but it's so hard to begin to heal knowing that there are people out there who know more about my abuse than I do.
And it, you know, as you listen to this commentary, and as you hear these comments from these individuals speaking yesterday in front of the Capitol, when the reason I thought it was important to play some of that commentary, obviously, yes, to get the information out there, but showing how Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, how they preyed upon individuals, how they preyed upon young girls, you know, she talked about 14 years old to get paid $300 to go give a massage to an older man. It goes to show you the absolutely despicable, horrific nature that unfolded. And again, all of this going back for the better part of almost 30 years. It's almost unimaginable. More from the press conference yesterday.
Hello. My name is Shantae Davies, and I'm here before you today as a survivor of decades of pain, trauma, and betrayal at the hands of Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, and the people who enabled them, and a government that for far too long refused to help. In 2002, I was living in California, a young woman with high aspirations of becoming an actress. I was already beginning to make a name for myself in the industry. A person I trusted, someone I thought was a friend, invited me to meet a powerful woman who could help advance my career. That woman happened to be Ghislaine Maxwell. I was asked to give her a massage, though I had almost no experience. And when I did, she praised me and promised introductions to someone enormously powerful, someone who could change the course of my life. And that man was Jeffrey Epstein. At first, I was an excited young woman on top of the world. Epstein flew me to his private island. He listened to my dreams, promised to help, but his promises came with a catch. The abuse began. He told me to keep it secret. He manipulated me with quid pro quo I did not consent to, but I felt I had no one to turn to. He was too powerful. I was just one of the many young women trapped in his orbit. I was even taken on a trip to Africa with former President Bill Clinton and other notable figures. In those moments, I realized how powerless I was. If I spoke out, who would believe me? Who would protect me? Epstein surrounded himself, with the most powerful leaders of our country and the world. He abused not only me, but countless others, and everyone seemed to look away. The truth is, Epstein had a free pass. He bragged about his powerful friends, including our current president, Donald Trump. It was his biggest brag, actually. And while what I endured will haunt me forever, I live every day with PTSD. I live as a mother trying to raise my child while distrusting a world that has betrayed me. This kind of trauma never leaves you. It breaks families apart. It shapes the way we see everyone around us. But one thing is certain, unless we learn from this history, monsters like Epstein will rise again. There are files, government files, that hold the truth about Epstein, who he knew, who owed him, who protected him, and why he was allowed to operate for so long without consequence. Why was Maxwell the only one held accountable when so many others played a role? Why does the government hide this information from the public? This secrecy is not protection, it's complicity. And as long as the truth is buried, justice will remain out of reach. That is why this bill matters. Passing it will, bless you, ensure that the suffering of survivors is not in vain. Passing it will bring accountability, transparency, and prevention. It will help protect the next generation of predators who seek to place themselves above the law through wealth, influence, and connections. This is not just my story. It is about every survivor who carries invisible scars. It's about the weight we live with daily. It is about the families broken and the futures stolen. So I ask you, President Trump, and members of Congress, why do we continue to cover up sexual abuse and assault? Who are we covering for? Let the public know the truth. We cannot heal without justice. We cannot protect the future if we refuse to confront the past. Thank you.
There is a unfortunate, probably accurate comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning, saying all of these women have testified before. It's criminal that they're being forced to try and get justice by going public just for nothing to happen. These women are being exploited yet again. And I think, that is one of the unfortunate realities of this situation, that this, again, is not new. The discussions of what Epstein and Maxwell were doing for so many years is not new. It's not, one of the earlier people we heard from said this was one of the biggest open secrets ever. It's hard to argue that point, isn't it? It's hard to argue that's not the case when you talk about, you heard from the last person, trips to Africa with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton, of course, Prince Andrew. I mean, very incredibly powerful people at the time when some of this was going on, and so incredibly unfortunate for this to have to unfold the way that it does. And, I'm going to play the commentary from President Donald Trump yesterday, who, again, I think has mishandled this at an unbelievable level. I don't know who is advising him to answer the questions the way that he is about the Epstein situation, but whoever is giving him advice is doing an unbelievably poor job. And I don't know if this is somebody advising him or if Trump himself has come to this. I don't know who is behind this, but he continues to botch this every single time he gets asked about it. And the left is, of course, setting this up, and Trump is, it seems like, just falling for the trap every time. This is the Oval Office yesterday, the president with the President Trump with the president of Poland talking about and having a discussion about a variety of issues before opening it up to the press. Here's the question in Trump yesterday.
Okay, President, right now, there have been survivors of Jeffrey speaking at a press conference on Capitol Hill. They're calling for these case files, these documents to be released. And Thomas Massie, who is sponsoring a discharge petition to get the House to vote on releasing those documents, says he doesn't believe you're implicated in these files, but many of your friends and donors may be. And he says that's why the Justice Department is redacting them and slow walking the release. Is the Justice Department protecting any friends or donors, sir?
So this is a Democrat hoax that never ends. You know, it reminds me a little of the Kennedy situation. We gave him everything over and over again, more and more and more, and nobody's ever satisfied. From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax, because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president.
And so the president goes on and on and on and on about, I've had all these great successes, so on and so forth. And let me be clear. I think when he says that this is the theatrics behind all of this is a Democrat hoax, I think he's absolutely spot on about that. I mean, as I mentioned in the show open, this information has been under the responsibility of the Department of Justice for, at this point, going on almost 6 years. There's no question about it. This information could have been made public. You could have had a disclosure petition or a discharge petition, whatever it's being called, by Thomas Massie or Ro Khanna or all the 212 Democrats at any point over the last 3 or 4 years. But it wasn't done. There was no press conference. Jeffrey Epstein allegedly killed himself back in 2019. This information has been available. And it is just now that, of course, the left sees this as a political opportunity to make Donald Trump look bad, to implicate him in these files, which may or may not be true. Who knows? And so that is why this push is going on. So when Trump says this is a Democrat hoax, I believe that's what he's referring to. And I think he's absolutely spot on. There's no question about it. So really the question has to be, Trump has talked about this in the past, about getting this information out. Why all of the sudden has something changed? And that's really the major unknown question this morning. Why is the president continually pushing against this when he needs to just say, all right, it's time to release the information? Now, there are questions, and I think they're fair ones, that have been posed about, have these files been heavily modified over the past couple of years? Has, you know, the Department of Justice has had these documents, has had this information for years? Have these things been heavily modified, heavily tampered with? What is the chain of custody on some of this documentation or some of this evidence look like? I think that's a fair and valid question. But Trump is just completely, I think, screwing up and botching this situation. And for many on the MAGA movement, which, of course, you would include Marjorie Taylor Greene as a member of, I think they are rightfully so calling out President Donald Trump and calling on this administration to provide this information. And it is a mystery as to why it is not happening in the way that it should. Obviously, and I stand by this statement completely, the Democrats do not care about accountability. They do not care about holding Jeffrey Epstein responsible or accountable. They don't care about Ghislaine Maxwell and holding her responsible and accountable. It's nonsense. It is political theatrics for those on the left. There is absolutely no question about it. If they cared so much about the women that they claim that they do, why was none of this done in the past? Plain and simple. Trump has the opportunity to right what has been 30 years of wrong dealing with this issue. Trump has the opportunity to provide the public with the information that they are asking for. And I think there's some truth to what he says is nobody's ever going to be satisfied. There's always going to be questions of, is there more information? I think there's some level of truth to that. I don't get this stance from him. I really do not understand it. Do I think he's implicated in the files? Genuinely, no, I don't. Because if he was, you can almost guarantee that the Department of Justice under the Biden administration would have made that information available. That would have been used and leaked throughout the 2024 presidential election by Biden's DOJ if that were the fact, if that were in fact the case. So no, the so-called pedo-in-chief discussions that are taking place in political circles by the so-called people that claim, oh, this isn't partisan. This is not a political thing at all. I don't think he's implicated. Are people around him implicated? Are there very incredibly wealthy and prominent donors and powerful figures on both sides of the political aisle that are? Yes. Is Trump trying to protect those people? It's not immediately clear if that's the reason or not. It's a working theory, and there's definitely some merit to it. He has got to course correct on this pretty quick. I'm surprised that after all of the public outrage over the last couple of months on this, that he has not changed his tune, has not changed his stance, but he is continuing down this road. He's continuing down this path. And you even had one of the attorneys yesterday talk about that going back to like 2009, that Donald Trump was one of the individuals that was willing to speak to attorneys and to help them. At 2009, his relationship with Epstein had already fractured and gone away. And so you've got folks that have pointed out that Donald Trump has been one of the voices in the room that have been trying for 2009, more than a decade, trying to provide and bring this information to light. Take a listen to this.
response, and thank you all for being here.
I'll go first, and then I'll let them. They're much more important than me, but I don't understand why it's a hostile act. I can tell you that I talked to President Trump back in 2009, and several times after that, he didn't think that it was a hoax then. In fact, he helped me. He got on the phone. He told me things that were helping our investigation. Now, our investigation wasn't looking into him, but he was helping us then. He didn't treat this as a hoax. So at this point in time, I would hope that he would revert back to what he was saying to get elected, which is, I want transparency. This about face that occurred, none of us understand it. In fact, I don't understand how this is an issue that's even up for debate. How do you not stand behind these women after you've heard their stories and know that hundreds of them were abused and it was only because files are being kept in secrecy? The world should know who he is, who protected him, and the other.
So there's the attorney talking about, that's one of the attorneys for some of the women talking about that after the press conference yesterday. The vast majority of the media questions, of course, all about Donald Trump. That's the narrative that the media is spinning. Donald Trump is allowing them to spin that with his ridiculous, and that's exactly what it is, his ridiculous handling of this situation. This discharge petition, will this go forth? The commentary from members, including Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday, indicated that if so, she would stand on the floor of the United States House and read through the list of names and go through all of these individuals' names. So at this point, it is Trump, it is Pam Bondi, it is Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. It is their move to figure out how to handle this and provide this information to the public. I don't think this story is going away. The momentum continues to build. Democrats, I'm sure, have looked at polling, have looked at data. This is a huge political issue for Trump and the Republicans. And the answer that he's giving and those on some of those on the right are giving is not going to cut it. And Democrats are going to hammer this issue consistently. They are going to continue bringing this public. Again, not because they care about accountability, not because they care about any of the individuals that spoke yesterday, but because they can use this as a political tool against Donald Trump. And that is the unfortunate reality of this situation. Again, I am not saying, none of my comments this morning are directed at any of the women that spoke yesterday. It is 100% targeted at people like Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie, the complete and total utter jackass that Thomas Massie is, who, you know, claims that this information needs to be released, yet did nothing about this when he was in Congress and Joe Biden was in the Oval Office, and Biden's DOJ could have also released this information. And I think that is one of the things this morning that I find so frustrating about this, is having to listen to the gaslighting from elected officials about how much they care about this information being released. Yet again, DOJ has had these documents, questions about the chain of custody on these documents for 5-6 years. It's an incredibly unfortunate situation. It went on for better part of almost 30 years. And it's getting to the point now where there is so much public interest and so much public outcry that this administration, and you heard from multiple of the women, President Donald Trump, you're influential, you're powerful. We need you to release this. We need you to provide this information to the public. It's hit a fever pitch at this point. Trump's response and Pam Bondi's response and others' responses have not been sufficient to this point, and it's going to be an interesting saga to see play out. And I'm glad that that is exactly what we are seeing and what is happening from at least some of the calls on the right. I'll throw MGT, Marjorie Taylor Greene, into that to try and provide some of this information. I give no credit to Ro Khanna or any other Democrats who, again, could have done this at any point and chose not to. Why? Because it wouldn't have been politically expedient. That's the real shame in this entire situation. So press conference happened yesterday. You heard Trump's response. We'll continue to watch this discharge petition and see what comes of this, if more Republicans come on board, and what it ends up looking like. At this point, kind of at a situation where you've got, to me, more questions than answers, at least at this point. So we'll continue to track the details. We'll continue to track the coverage right here on the Nick Craig Show. I do want to thank those folks that support the show and get access to bonus content, including a daily show notes. I'll have a link to the full press conference over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can support the show $5, $10 a month if you believe that you are getting some value from the weekday program, patreon.com/Nick Craig. Also want to thank the Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. A lot going on across the world. We'll take a look at the tropics tomorrow morning. Those are heating up as well. The Nick Craig Show airing weekday morning, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble X, Facebook, and of course 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great Thursday. We'll chat with you tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.